Voice of the Blue is brought to you by the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville, Florida. Check them out at aphf.org.
The Police Hall of Fame and the United States Law Enforcement Foundation, where bold vision and hope align to create a better tomorrow for all law enforcement and the communities they serve by strong advocacy, hard and soft skills training and education, and their many programs of compassion. To learn more, please go to uslef.org or aphf.org.
16 is on scene.
Welcome to Voice of the Blue. I am Royce, your host, bringing you an intimate look at the men and women of the law enforcement profession through their service, their stories, their lives, and sometimes through their own words. I began the last program by saying that I believe the police profession, the law enforcement profession, is one of the most difficult and one of the toughest in America, and we read an article by Mr. Matt Funicello about humanizing the badge, and he is a former Marine Corps combat veteran, and he also served out of Southern California as a law enforcement officer, and he wrote a two-part series called Humanizing the Badge, and it just pairs very well with this program. That's what this program is all about. Showing you the human side of the badge. And when I say human side, I think I mean exactly what most officers say when they talk about the human side of the badge. Human beings are not perfect. Human beings have many faults. We have many weaknesses. We have emotions that get out of control sometimes. We go through times of emotional depression. We all go through some sort of mental and emotional malady at some point in our lives. I believe that is compounded in the law enforcement profession. We talked about the scenes that officers had to compartmentalize, how they had to stuff them, how they have to keep those things in check and not let them out. They have to appear strong, as Mr. Funicello wrote in part one of Humanizing the Badge. They have to always appear to be in charge. They have to appear to be a good and ready guard against the evil here in society. They need to be seen as strong, and they know this, but yet they suffer with the same human weaknesses that we all do. The purpose of this is to try to mend that gap that has been steadily widening between the law enforcement profession and the citizenry. A lot of that due to flagrant attacks by various political ideologies here in America. No, I'm not going to make this a political program, but I think you know what I'm talking about. They malign, demean, and impugn the profession of law enforcement. Yes, I know there have been some law enforcement officers who have broken the law. They also paid for their crimes at the hands of their own fellow officers when they were arrested. Now, you may say, well, not all of them get caught. Well, I got news for you. Not everybody in society gets caught either. They're not able to catch everybody who may have somehow made it through the winnowing selection process to become a cop, who may have some deep-seated aggression issues or something like that. Sometimes they get through. But I will tell you right now, they are an unregisterable fraction of the entire profession. There are so many more out there who do the right thing every day. Get out there and put themselves on the line every day. Swallow those emotional impacts that they get hit with every day. Faithfully out there every day, serving the public, doing what they're supposed to do, doing what's right. And so we need to give them credit for that. We need to give them recognition for that. Pointing out everybody's faults all the time will not do anything to mend this gap. Always pointing out to the mistakes made by individual law enforcement officers or even a command decision that was done mistakenly or whatever, focusing on that all the time is going to do nothing but create, again, widen that expanse between we the people and those that we have asked to do this incredibly difficult job. Let's give them a little bit of leeway. Let's set them forth a little bit of space. Yes, I understand there's bad apples in every bunch. There are probably bad apples in your own family, okay? My own family, too. There are bad people everywhere. That just, if that's what we're going to focus on, then we will never heal this gap. I want to remind you, all of these people who put that duty belt on and pin that badge on are citizens just like you and I. Yep, exactly. Just like you and I, they are citizens that we have granted power to, that we have tasked with this difficult job. These people that we have put through this process and granted them power to enforce the laws that we all approved of. Well, hopefully all of them. Not all laws have been good, but you know what I mean. So if we don't give them a little bit of space, give them the respect that the badge at least deserves, then people, it's going to continue to chip away at the profession. And then I hate to see the day that the law enforcement profession becomes non-existent. That would be a very great and terrible day. And again, when I say great, I mean large. It would be a very big, terrible day. And so looking at this article by Mr. Matt Funicello, he did a two-part series on humanizing the badge, that police officers are humans too. And as I say in the introduction of every episode, I want to bring you the words of the officers themselves. And so therefore, I'm going to be reading this article to you on this episode of Voice of the Blue. And this is part two of humanizing the badge. If you'd like to hear part one, that was in the previous episode. You can start there first. Mr. Funicello stated, "When we get asked by our friends and family how we deal with our work, we tell them it doesn't bother us that bad, it doesn't bother us that bad, really. You get good days and bad days like everyone else." But that's a lie. And they all know it, but they won't ask for more because deep down they know it bothers us. My wife knew. Every time I came home after a gnarly day at work, she saw it on my face. Sometimes I did tell her what happened. After all, she's been with me since we were sophomores in high school. She has slept by my side since 2007, and she knows when I'm bothered. She knows when I have nightmares. She starts to get woken up by my jerking movements, and then my screams start, and she knows. She feels helpless at times because she feels that she can't help me or help me through the trauma and the hurt. But I can feel her presence, and it does help a little. I have told her some things, but mostly I keep it to myself. Save for the very few close friends and my brother. He knows because he's been there too. After years, especially after full careers of these experiences, we become jaded to reality. Our humor becomes dark, and people don't know how to take it. Sometimes we don't joke at all because we don't want to chance alienating our friends and family. Because who the hell else are we going to lean on? My wife still gets uncomfortable sometimes when I'm seemingly callous when I hear about deaths in the family or friends or even watching the news and seeing dead people, people dead from natural disasters or other events. My outer reaction to those events are still something like, well, that sucks to be them. We do this as a defense or coping mechanism so we can continue to function without completely losing it. We bury it all deep inside because we have to be strong to protect the weak. That is not an insult. It's the truth. Society looks to us to solve all their problems and take the bad guy or girl to jail. They ask us to run into a hail of gunfire to save innocent civilians from being gunned down by a madman or madwoman, even though the Supreme Court of the United States says we don't have to in their ruling on Castle Rock versus Gonzalez in 2005. But believe me when I say this. The overwhelming majority of police officers in this country would, without a thought, take a bullet, knife, car, etc., to protect people. The tragedy in Uvalde, Texas, was a stain on law enforcement, and I was disgusted to see and know what happened that day. May I take a pause in the article here to just drive this point home? This is proof that the good cops look to the failures of other cops, and it upsets them, especially when they feel those officers should have done something more than what they did and that people's lives could have been saved, and especially when they, like Mr. Funicello here, says, I would have run in there. There would have been no hesitation. Children are dying. So believe me when I tell you, you cannot assign motives, attitudes, or actions from one officer or a few officers to the entire profession. You cannot do that, and here's proof in what Mr. Funicello is saying. He said, every day we do this, rain or shine, hot or cold, short-staffed or not, we go into the world and try to make a difference. Yes, we make mistakes. After all, we're human, and sometimes we mess up on a massive scale. Sometimes we're pulled aside like adults and get told to fix ourselves and not do it again. Unfortunately, we aren't given that leeway by the public at large. We're expected to be absolutely perfect all the time. Even when we're dealing with the stuff we deal with on a daily basis, in today's climate, in addition to everything I mentioned earlier, we can have to deal with a public that is increasingly hostile to us, calling us names, baiting us into a fight so they can have someone else film it to try to then get us fired or charged with a crime. Traffic stops are more dangerous than ever now, not only physically, but legally too. More and more, regardless of the reason for the stop, our contacts are increasingly hostile. We're being baited into making a stupid mistake or decision so we can be sued, fired, or have charges filed against us. The mental toll on us is unbelievable. But we don't say anything for fear of being fired or taken out of the field or having that used against us in custody or divorce cases. We begin to look for coping mechanisms, and a high percentage of us find that in alcohol. PTSD and alcohol, unfortunately, are a common denominator for some police officers. One of the most commonly studied stress disorders is post-traumatic stress disorder. Recently, researchers determined that nearly half of individuals, 42%, who were diagnosed with PTSD also met the criteria for an alcohol use disorder. It is generally believed that people suffering from PTSD and other stress disorders have not developed appropriate coping strategies for processing the stress or trauma they experienced and instead turn to alcohol or other drugs as a way of dealing with their symptoms. As the symptoms of a stress disorder worsen over time, they are also often made worse by substance abuse. This cycle can lead to addiction, as well as increasingly severe mental and physical health problems. We are human. We have our strengths and weaknesses like everyone else, but we don't get the same hall pass that others do. For example, for all deaths by law enforcement officers, the average yearly number of people killed by law enforcement is approximately just over 600 people, which includes over 400 justifiable homicides. However, the public believes the number to be far greater when it isn't. and we are treated as the bad guy or bad girl no matter what. In contrast, according to a study done by Johns Hopkins reports, medical malpractice is now the third highest cause of death in the United States, with over 250,000 people dying per year. And that's due to medical malpractice, people. Just to take a pause here, I've said this before, and as a matter of fact, I think I might have cited these numbers in the opening episode at one time. Doctors commit over 250,000, that's a quarter of a million, medical malpractice deaths per year, but yet we think nothing about calling the doctor when we have an ailment. The same thing is true with police officers. They have had to, unfortunately, take the lives of other people sometimes to save their own or to save the lives of another person, possibly one of their own fellow officers. And yes, those are terrible times. Everybody I know personally that's ever been involved in an officer-involved shooting, they deal with that for the rest of their life. They talk about some of the gunfights they've been in and what it does to them mentally, emotionally, which also has an impact on your physiology. These are things we need to take into consideration. So we give doctors a pass in spite of the fact that they accidentally kill a quarter of a million American citizens every year, but we refuse to give police officers a pass for 600 people killed, 400 of them average out to be justifiable homicides. Yeah, terrible things happen, but the problem is, it's not the police officer. It's the human condition that makes the police officer have to do that. These are things we need to take into consideration and think about. The article continues. He said 250,000 deaths per year, but do we hear calls for doctors to be held accountable? Does the public hold marches and rallies to jail killer doctors? Are there special interest groups that track these deaths? Is there almost 24/7 media coverage on every single incident? Are there media websites dedicated to tracking the death numbers? No, there aren't. Because the overwhelming majority of doctors and nurses are great humans who also make mistakes from time to time, but not cops. We're the problem. And he states that was sarcasm. He said, we are society's pincushion. We are the punching bag for society to use at their leisure because that's what we signed up for. And you know what? With all of that, all that stress and sadness, we still come back to work. Why? We love what we do because, like us or not, society needs us, even if they don't want us. Will a lot of us make mistakes? Yes, of course we will, because we're human and we're not perfect. We're black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Christian, Jewish, Sikh, Hindu, Muslim, atheist, agnostic, men and women. We all bleed the same red blood as everyone else. And yes, we have feelings too. And it's time to stop treating us like we are an alien species out to hunt you down and kill you. And that was by Mr. Matt Funicello, former Marine combat veteran and former law enforcement officer from Southern California. Very profound words. And they echo the comments that many other officers that I have interviewed on this program have also uttered. We need to take these things into account. I know I've said that multiple times. It may seem that I'm belaboring the point, but if we're going to heal the great rift that is between law enforcement and the citizenry, and again, it's one that's been exacerbated by certain media reports and such, and the fact, like Mr. Funicello said, we place them under the microscope. Well, just remember, they're humans too. Just like we are. Just like we have made many grand mistakes, they will make them too. As Mr. Funicello said, sometimes they make massive mistakes. Well, that's part of being a human being. And these people, as he stated, as I agree with, are human beings too. Let's support them with our prayers. Make a donation, a recurring donation, to the American Police Hall of Fame in Titusville. You can check them out at aphf.org. They are the sponsors of this program, as you already know. They're the ones that basically pay for the production of it. And it is also, as they have stated, to try to heal this scar between the people and the police officers. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you protect those standing on that thin blue line. May today be the day they come home to their wives, their daughters, their sons, their husbands. May today not be their end of watch. May tomorrow not be their end of watch. May they have a long and healthy career. May they retire knowing they did the right thing, knowing that they had a true sense of purpose and mission. Lord, watch over them. Bring them home to their families, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.